What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Mooning. All right. Meow, guitar. Thanks for asking. Thank F it's Friday, though. Feels like quite a long week for me. Done loads of recording. Days tick by real quick when you work a lot, don't they? But too quick almost. Life passing you by. Anyway. It's Friday, thank goodness for that, if nothing else. It is just tick past 8 in the AM, British summertime, on the 7th of August, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers, basically the best, and sisters, basically the best people on earth. Tune into the Bo Show Live, Breakfast with Bo. The Bo Show, colloquially known as the Bo Show. Or the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. Don't you forget about me. I am joined by Alistair this morning. Little Harry's away. Alistair, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm very well. Good morning, Swindon.
Good morning, Swindon. And the internet. Okay, people watching from all over the world. People from Slovenia, the East Coast, the West Coast of America, all over the place. All right, there's plenty of faffing about though for one morning, isn't it? No need, really, for all that fannying around. Let's just get straight into it. This show is all about what's in the ye olde news cycle on any given day. So let's have a look. What have we got? What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell you is or isn't important? We've got Tories to end social housing for foreigners. You had 14 years to do something like that, didn't you? Now you're getting based about it, are you? Don't trust them. Don't believe them. And bottoms down. You know, sometimes if you have a drink, someone might say, bottoms up. The bottom of the glass up, bottoms up, drink up, finish your drink. Well, there's a story that, at least I think in Westminster, specifically Westminster Council, just one bit of central London, talk that they might want to try and put some sort of ban on standing at the bar, ordering drinks at a bar and standing at the bar and drinking. Don't understand the rationale or the reason. Why would you? Anyway, bottoms down. You've got to sit down to drink. Bottoms down. You get it. You get it. Okay. The Daily Telegraph. The Tory graph. Pretty much pure slop. You remember that story about that black Cambridge professor that's just completely disgraced and now resigned because he seems to be a complete Walter Mitty, just a complete liar on many, many levels. Or they have to fly in another black person to give his take on it. The irony of that. It's a symptom of the less corruption of excellence. Tommy Were Olade tells us. Yeah, okay, mate. Right. Tories to end social housing for foreigners. More than 230,000 face eviction under Badenoch's plans to end, quote, cash machine UK, quote. Well, she's nowhere near power, both in terms of time and sort of electoral support. So they can say whatever they want. I've said it before, it's a classic thing. I remember hearing Tony Blair talk about it once. And when someone says it, you're like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah, now you say it. It's like, if you're in opposition, what you say doesn't really mean all that much. It doesn't really mean anything, actually. You can sort of say anything. There's no pressure on you to deliver. Nothing like that. The difference between being in government and even being like the formal opposition, i.e. the second most important party, let alone one of the smaller ones, even just being the formal opposition, you can just say stuff, just throw out policy ideas. You don't have to fund them properly. They don't even have to make full sense. You just throw it out there. Whereas if you're in power, if you're in government, well, it's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it? So they're just saying that now. In fact, was it on the Express? Yeah, on the Express website. Tories unveil bombshell plans to bar foreign nationals from social housing. Existing non-EU tenants would be required to leave within 6 months under a major overhaul of housing policy. Now, don't get me wrong. In principle, I'm up for that. Even more, go further than that. In a number of ways. So it's not that I've got a problem fundamentally with that policy. Not at all. Not at all. It's exactly the sort of thing I'd like to see. But do I trust, do I believe the Tories? James Cleverly. Do I trust James Cleverly? No, I don't. I absolutely don't. I think I said it yesterday, and I know I've said it a number of times. If I were to draw up a list of traitors, enemies of the people that in the last generation or so have committed unspeakable crimes against this nation, James Cleverly would be near the top of the list. He'd be the Prime Minister's first, from Blair on down. And then their Home Secretaries, including this gentleman, Mr. Cleverly MP. James, didn't you oversee us getting invaded? You did, didn't you? What did you do about it at the time? Nothing. Were you talking about... removing social housing from foreigners when you actually had power? No, you weren't, were you? But now you're in opposition and it effectively doesn't matter. Now you're talking about it. Don't trust them. I have no faith that the Tory party will do anything like this. They had their shot. To do things like this along these lines, and they absolutely failed, an abject failure. How someone like James Cleverly can sleep at night, let alone go out in public and pretend to still be a politician who can be trusted in any way, can be taken seriously in any way. Oh, look, but look, they've got a picture of him looking serious. Stern, serious person. Wants to do the best for this country. No. You spent all that political capital a long time ago, James. All right, there's a picture of Zendaya and her husband. Yeah, these two are married. That's that Spider-Man kid, isn't it? Was it Tom? It's Tom Holland, yeah. Not to be confused with the historian Tom Holland. There's two Tom Hollands in the world. One is a lefty shill historian. The other one's a lefty shill actor. So they already got married, didn't they? I'm pretty sure it was on the front page of the papers like a few weeks ago. Well, they seem to have had another marriage ceremony in England this time. So... here's an interesting story from The Telegraph. Get a load of this. This is a sort of a lamestream media equivalent of spurging out, I think. The headline says, Restore's co-founder suggests Farage bought by Jews. I'm talking about Charlie Downs. Our Charlie. Yeah. It's sort of the equivalent of spurging out because, do you remember yesterday there was an article by... Alistair Heath, right, having a little bit of a pop at Restore and Rupert, par for the course, isn't it? And there was a whole bunch of backlash on Twitter, like he retweeted his article, and underneath it was just loads and loads of people ripping him a new one, including Charlie and Rupert and loads and loads of people in this sphere. I went on there as well. I got clipped out. My tiny little like 2 minute rant about it yesterday. I clipped that out and put that on there. What now? anyway. That obviously annoyed the powers that be at the Telegraph. Because this article today is the equivalent of spurging out. Because it's not like a clear argument. It's just like a list, like a laundry list of... Restore did this, and Charlie, and one time on Charlie said this, and then the other day Rupert also did this thing. Sort of pathetic. Co-founder, they're calling Charlie a co-founder. Okay, I mean, he was in the video, that first video with Rupert. But okay, they're calling him the co-founder. Does that mean Charlie might be a shoo-in to be the deputy leader of the party? Mr. Lowe, do you think you might be prudent to actually name an heir apparent a deputy leader? Should it be Charlie Downs? Isn't he the obvious choice? Methinks. Anyway, that's up to Rupert, isn't it? So here they say that Charlie, had responded to some sort of Farage tweet where Farage had said, I can't be bought. I'm above corruption. I, Nigel Al Farage, cannot be bought at any price. Alistair, what's that thing called? Cameo, that's it. Sorry, I remember now. Oh, you can be bought on Cameo, though. You were bought on Cameo for, like, very small amounts of money. Anyway, regardless of that, Charlie, I didn't even see this. I didn't know it was a thing. I think it's a while ago. I don't think it's like yesterday this happened, but... Anyway, Charlie apparently posted some sort of picture of Nigel standing in front of something to do with the Jews or Israel, whether it was like an Israeli flag or whether it was like Reform have got a Friends for Israel group. A lot of the main parties have. Still haven't, actually. A lot of the main parties are like Labour's Friends for Israel or Conservative Friends of Israel. Think Reform. Apologies if I get any of these details ever so slightly wrong. I've only had like about 45 minutes or an hour this morning to read the papers. Slightly rushed this morning. I think there's like a Reform for Israel group. Something like that. There's a picture of Nigel standing in front of it. Something like that. And Charlie reposted that. I think these are the details. Anyway. Responding to a tweet where Nigel says, I can't be bought. Anyway, that's too far for the Telegraph. This is anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism. It's the oldest smear about money and influence delivered as a picture so it couldn't be quoted back. Yeah, I will. I wonder why it's the oldest smear. Absolutely no reason for that, is there? Going back to the ancient world. Anti-Semitism. Also Rupert said something about the king. Someone asked Rupert about the king and he didn't give like the perfect answer as far as we the Telegraph are concerned. Also it just goes on like that. It really is spurging out. Also Charlie Downs did something else one time. It's just sort of a little list of like just the current things, current little tax they're trying to do on Restore. Yeah, also Charlie went on Julie Fartley Poo the other day and expressed concerns about our demographic decline. Yeah, so good. That's the thing, like literally, like that bit of it is like, it just says something like, Charlie also went on Fartley Poo and expressed concerns. Express concerns about a demographic change, and then that's it, and then it moves on to the next thing. It's like, what's wrong with that? Isn't that the most existential problem of our age? You've just said it as though it's like intrinsically bad, as though what Charlie's done there is sort of intrinsically evil or something. No, it's brilliant. It's exactly what's needed, actually. The Telegraph. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And then on another day, the Telegraph will try and pretend that they're nativist or patriotic in some way, or right of centre in some way, and try and have a pop at, like, lefties a little bit. No. They despise Reform and Tommy, even, let alone a Restore or Charlie Downs. Spies them. They've got their globalist agenda. They've got their globalist project. Anti-white, anti-British, anti-Anglo project. And that's it. That takes precedent over everything else, including reason. Filth. people I went to dinner once with Edgington in London, that worked for the Telegraph, seemed like completely reasonable, pretty based young men in real life. Think about what you're doing. Think about who you're employed by. You really want to be part of a globalist machine? Think about it. Think about it, boys. All right. Fear of Burnham tax rise prompts £1.6 billion stock market sell-off. That's what you get when socialists just raise taxes, raise them and raise them and raise them and raise them. In the end, anyone and anything, any individual or company, organisation that's got the ability to just leave will. It's quite simple. Again, the cause and effect of that is very, very straightforward and sort of linear. So you get like that Gary Stevens or whatever it is. Stevenson, I can never remember his surname. I don't watch him. But people like that. People like Burnham or Reeves or whatever. They seem to somehow conveniently forget or just fail to understand. And even when you say it directly to them, they sort of dismiss it a bit and move on. But you won't get more money for the state purse, for the treasury, if you just keep taxing people. It's like a bell curve, right? At a certain point, over a certain threshold, the overall sort of net revenues you get in fall down because so many people are leaving and organisations. Capital flight. They just don't want to hear about that. They just think the more we tax, the more money we get. No. No. It's really straightforward stuff. Sort of week one stuff in an economics A level or something. Well, that's economic, leftist economic theory for you. Within 1 week of a normal economics course, you realise it's nonsense. Crazy, childish, backward nonsense. Okay. The Mail, the Daily Mail. Again, pure globalism trying to wear the skin suit of something that isn't. Something about this Cambridge professor, I don't care anymore. I'm not interested in any of that. Oh, I can't be bothered with all that. Foreign nationals face social housing ban under Tories. All right, we told a bit about that. I don't trust them. I would bet a lot of money that if they were suddenly, the government, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Zendaya and Tom's secret £500,000 wedding in Surrey. She's supposed to be like an A-list starlet, like one of the most beautiful women in the world. One of the most beautiful women it's sort of possible to be. Like Grace Kelly or some sort of yesteryear Hollywood star. Zendaya. Are we seeing the same thing? Are we seeing the same face? Oh, Bo, you're no oil painting either. Yeah, I know. I never claimed to be. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a Hollywood star. I'm not trying to be world famous and a multi-millionaire on the strength of my bone structure. She is. They are. Really? This is a beauty, is it? A world-beating beauty. I don't see it. I don't see it. All right. Maybe that's just me. All right, The Guardian. Ugh. Ugh. What is that? That looks and smells disgusting. Like something died. Like something's rotting. Ugh. What is that mess? What is that revolting piece of carrion? Oh, it's The Guardian. It's the carcass of The Guardian. That's what that is. Cambridge unleashed grotesque racism with our day appointment. Don't care anymore. I've moved on. We've moved on. I don't care. Milburn, Alan Milburn, blast from the past. Do you remember he was back in like the 1970s? He was back in the Blair years, wasn't he? Milburn. He's back in government, though. Do you remember when No Stern and Burnham, King of the North, got in? We had a look at his cabinet. Alan Milburn was in it, brought back from the dead. He says we should spot pupils at risk of joblessness. We're going to get a colour chart out, are you? Okay. Toxic pollution in every body of water in England. It's on one of the other front pages. Maybe we'll get to it in a moment. Yeah, a report said, that nearly every waterway, river, canal, stream, on some level is polluted with like microplastics and various chemicals. Anyone going to be held to account for that ultimately? If true, the star on this, just let you know, this isn't us. This is blurred. This isn't our fault. This isn't a technical issue with Lotus Eaters. The image that the BBC website has actually uploaded is blurred. Not that it matters, really, because it's the star and it's stupid, stupid slop. They go with the bottoms down. So bottoms down, no standing up in pubs. Madness. There's a picture of Suggs. Think that one's Suggs. You know, from Madness. Madness? I won't sing Madness. Yeah, a picture of Suggs with a pint. Or is it, has he got a half? And I think it's just Westminster Council. A relatively small bit of just central London. Saying, like, a bit like in the COVID era. What can we get away with? How can we curtail people's sort of individual freedoms and civil liberties, even in a really, really petty way? Like, you can't go up to a bar and order a drink. You have to sit at your table and let someone come on over to you. Like, we'll pass some sort of law to that effect. You can't stand at the bar, even if it's an empty bar. You can't stand there and have your drink. You have to go back to your seat and sit down. What? Get lost. Get away from me. What are you doing? Why are you... What's it got to do with you? The government, local government, tells you where if you can stand or sit. A massive overreach. Massive overreach. I want as small a government as possible. My libertarian leanings coming out. All right. The Metro. Really? The Metro. You're going to carry on day after day doing this, are you? You know, we see you. You know, normal people see what you do every day. See what you are. A seditious rag. An agent of chaos, very often. Revolting. Sitting room only at pubs. All right, we get it. They've got a very funny little cartoon as well on the front part. Very, very funny. All right, the Financial Times. Mildly interesting story here. Flying school. Colombian narco fighters seek drone warfare lessons on Ukraine battlefront. Interesting. The way drones... Yeah, there's a guy there. Colombian narco fighter. Anti-narco soldier, paramilitary dude, whoever, whatever he is. Got a little drone there. See that? One of the little COD ones. More like a toy one, isn't it? But drone warfare on the battlefield, whatever that battlefield might be. It does seem like that's the future, doesn't it? All right. The Eye paper. Okay, they go with the waterways and the rivers thing. Every river and lake in England polluted with toxic chemicals. All rivers, lakes, reservoirs and canals in England polluted with forever chemicals, microplastics, ammonia and phosphates, according to a Landmark report. First evaluation in 6 years reveals only 14% are in, quote, good ecological health, with many poisoned by sewage, revealing no progress has been made since 2019. The Environment Agency has pledged that 75% of England's 4,658 bodies of water will be safe by 2027. But campaigners warn this will not happen. The Eye Papers Save Britain's Rivers campaign calls on the government to set roadmap for achieving its legal targets. If all that data is to be believed, no reason not to, by the way, just to be clear, but if all that's true, not just sort of alarmism or something, that's sickening, isn't it? It's horrible. You know me, if you watch the Bo Show enough, I don't buy the climate hoax thing. Don't buy that man-made CO2 in the atmosphere drives climate change on the global level. But I am deeply concerned about pollution. Often, in a lot of people's minds, it's just all one and the same issue. It's just all one and the same thing. They're not at all. So while I don't buy that 200, maybe 250... 275 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere, man-made, that drives climate change, and the ice caps are going to melt and sea levels are going to rise massively, and we'll all be underwater and there won't be an Earth left to save if we don't act now. All that's crazy nonsense to me. But pollution, like measurable pollution, man-made measurable pollution, which could be stopped, and reverse. Yeah, that's a massive, really, really important thing. I really, really care about that. Yeah. How is... I'm sure there's reports and books and things written about it, but how this has been allowed to happen. There's that much sewage and ammonia and phosphates and forever chemicals, whatever that really means, in all of our rivers, lakes, reservoirs and canals. All of them. Who exactly is responsible? How exactly did that come to be? What organisations are responsible for that exactly? And who was at the top making the decisions in those companies during this time frame? Who exactly? We're not a bigger country, right? It's not like we're Canada or Australia or the United States or whatever, or China, where, oh, there's a region where that's the case. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that bad? Let's try and do something about it. Still, we've got almost endless other rivers and lakes and reservoirs that are pristine still. No, we've got a very finite number of them, and they're all polluted, it's saying there. Can't people be... People should be held to account. There should be very, very stiff penalties for all this sort of thing. I saw an interview with the head, I don't know if it's the CEO or the president or something, of Thames Water. I think it was Thames Water the other day, going around Twitter. And he was just basically saying, oh, there's nothing we can do. It's not our fault. Various things as well, that there's shortage during hot spells. Hose pipe bans during hot spells, the amount of leakage, the amount of water that's wasted before it ever gets to anyone's tap or hose pipe, the amount of sewage that gets released into lakes, rivers, reservoirs and canals and the sea. It's sort of like, and it's not our fault, we couldn't help it, it's not, it doesn't work like that, you don't understand, it's not, we try our best with what we've got and it's just not our fault. No, don't buy it, not good enough. It's your responsibility. And this wasn't the case that long ago, right? A generation ago or less, this wasn't the case. So what's happened? What's changed? Well, the Eye Paper, I salute their, what do they call it? The Clean Rivers, Save Britain's Rivers campaign. Well, I support that. 100%. 100%. It's depressing, isn't it? All right, the sun. Slop. What sloppy Joe are they trying to cram down our throat this morning? Oh, Zendaya and Tom. It's always odd to have your bird taller than you, isn't it? It's not ideal, is it? I only ever went out with a girl once who was taller than me. Well, we was about the same height. But if she put heels on, she appeared a little bit taller than me. Not happy with it. Don't look right, really. Well, if they're, all joking aside, if they're happy, good luck to them. Seriously, good luck to them. So they got married again, I think. Again, look, Tom and Zendaya tie knot again in secret. Wasn't that secret, was it? £500,000 bash at UK hotel. Looks lovely though, didn't it? All cynicism and jealousy aside, I hope they had a lovely day. If they're happy with each other, good luck to them. That's what I say. Don't ask me to pay money to see any of your crap films, though. Ivy Webb. Clever, clever, clever wordplay. All right. The Mirror. Ugh, The Mirror. Ugh. Look at this burnt-out old Karen. TV Nadia. Nadia Swahala. Swahala, whatever her surname is. I'll sue ITV over loose women. Other stars had an easier ride. So anyone who's foreign, who might not know, there's some TV show called Loose Women on like morning TV or daytime TV. It's a little panel of just middle-aged women. There's an American equivalent, is there, with Whoopi Goldberg on it? You know, the thing. Just a bunch of menopausal middle-aged women nattering about nonsense, exposing the fact they don't really understand much that day after day. Right. She was on it. And then she got fired. In fact, is there a story? There was a story somewhere about she got fired and. Oh, there we go. Look, it's on ITV News. Nadia Swara threatens ITV with legal action over loose women removal. And she said it was to do with her support for Palestine. Because she's a little bit brown. I don't know what her actual ancestry is, but Nadia Swahala. She's got some sort of foreign ancestry, hasn't she? I don't even know what it is. And then the Swahala sisters. Wasn't one of them the daughter in Abfab? Was it her? Was it her or one of her sisters? Oh, anyway, don't care. They're middle-aged now. And she's sort of openly, but not on Loose Women. Not on Loose Women, but in other ways, openly very, very pro-Palestine. Look, she's wearing one of those sort of Near Eastern Palestine shamag things, whatever they're called. Completely performative, of course. Completely and utterly performative. Is this at Westminster? Is this just outside the gates to Parliament? It looks like it, doesn't it? So she's, in other words, very openly pro-Palestine. And although, not that I've ever really watched Loose Women, hardly, oh, I'm not home in the day. Let alone, even if their clip goes around Twitter, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not interested. Apparently, she never talked about it on Loose Women, but nonetheless, she got fired. And she claims it's because of that, because of her open support for Palestine. And that's not fair. Now she's going to take them to court. All right, okay, I'll move on. I can't believe I spent that much time talking about that. Nonsense. Don't care. Okay, another story some of the more tabloidy ones are going for. Do you remember a story a few weeks ago? Maybe was it a couple of months ago? I can't remember. Do you remember this story where some actual sort of nutter had gone to one of the royal estates where Andrew was living? I can't remember which one he's on now, which one they've allowed him to live at. Balmoral? Anyway, one of them, where he was. And this, like, crazy dude. In fact, look, there's a picture of him. I guess that's the dude. He physically chased Andrew out. He sort of waited for the right moment till Andrew was sort of out of his car or something or other. Some sort of, don't know the exact moment-to-moment details of it, but he did he have a gun or threatened, suggest that he had a gun? Anyway, he chased Andrew around a bit. Didn't hurt him. And Andrew got away, and I guess his guard and the police in some way separated them. And okay, so Andrew, my stalker ordeal, caught his evidence from disgraced ex-royal. So that's just the story that, if you remember, a month or two ago that happened. Well, now that case has come to court, and there's a little picture of the dude. Ultimately, it's nothing, because Andrew wasn't harmed or touched in any way. But really, it's not nothing, is it, though? It could have been. It could have been an assassination, couldn't it? If that guy did have a gun or something. He was close enough to Andrew. It could have been the worst case scenario, couldn't it? All right, The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Same story, how Andrew tells he was chased by stalker, right? Whistleblower Maggie Oliver, good old Maggie Oliver, one of the good ones, Maggie Oliver. Brave, brave hero among women, hero among mankind, Maggie Oliver, slams early release plans for men who destroyed childhoods. Yeah, yeah. We are failing sex gang victims once again. Yeah. If anyone doesn't know Maggie Oliver, she's one of the very, very, very early whistleblowers about some of the Pakistani, not Asian, let's say Pakistani rape gangs, largely Pakistani rape gangs. Yeah, yeah. Tried to be, or was, one of the very early whistleblowers, wrote a book and did everything she could, it seems, in her power. She was a police officer in the first instance. Seemed to do fearless, really, Maggie Oliver. Brilliant. Give me 10 divisions of Maggie Olivers and our troubles here will be over very quickly. Brave woman. Brilliant woman. Braver than most of us. She'll stand up and she'll say it again and again and again. Wonderful. Thank you, Maggie Oliver. Sincerely, from the bottom of my soul, thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do. Okay, She's saying that a lot of these child rapists that are being let out early, and there are a bunch of them. Remember a headline earlier in the week saying, Burnham saying, oh, whatever happens, we won't let out sex criminals, and particularly child sex criminals. Well, they just are, though, still. There was an article yesterday with a list of at least a few of them. So some sort of loophole, it didn't apply to some, for some reason. So some are being let out early. Good old Maggie Oliver saying, we're failing the victims again. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Despicable, insane, insane they would be doing this. Why are you doing this? There's a number of other policy options you could go with before just letting out child rapists early. Number of different avenues or measures you could look at or do before you choose to do that. They hate us, don't they? They hate us. Okay, that's Melanie Sykes. I thought it was Anderson Silva for a moment. And Melanie Sykes, a beautiful woman. Okay, I was. A stunning, clean-cut look for Melanie Sykes. Okay, well, she's decided to shave her head. 20, 30 years ago, she was absolute, stunningly beautiful woman. Okay, the Times. What have we got here? You're the best in the world, boss told professor in plagiarism row. That weird outgroup fetish for black people that some leftists have. Isn't it freakish? Isn't it weird and gross? You'll find some random, almost a random black guy that's doing a PhD. That's it. That's all he was, essentially. A black dude that's doing a PhD. Well, the light's gone off. Technical issues. We are live. There you go. It's live streaming for you, folks. These things happen. Get one of my minions in here. Sort it out. He's laughing. All right. Yeah, some weird fetish for some random black dude. You know what we want? Do you know what we need? A black professor. Should we actually find someone competent who deserves that? There aren't really any. Let's be honest. There weren't really any. No obvious ones, anyway. Let's just get this guy. This guy's doing a PhD. Don't worry about if his PhD is any good or whether it's plagiarised. Don't worry about anything else he's lying about his entire existence. Don't worry about that. Just make him a professor and tell him he's the best in the world. Are you kidding me? The best in the world. Oh, look, he looks like he might be a little bit fruity as well. Look, he's wearing eyeliner as well. Perfect. Perfect. Get him in. Make him a professor post-haste. That worldview is perverse, isn't it? Perverse. We need a black professor. Why do you? No, you don't. Why do you? Because you've been brainwashed into thinking that's virtuous. You can go to your dinner parties. Oh, yes, we've got our token black man. Over at Jesus College, Balliol are trying to pour scorn on us because we haven't got a token black professor yet. Well, we have now. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. Pathetic. Fraud alert over loans to foreign students. You don't say. Wow, breaking news. No one ever saw that coming. Really? Fifth are now taken by non-UK citizens. Right. They might be able to just cut and run. You get a massive amount of money from the student loans company or whatever it is. You're like, oh, I have to go back to my country of origin now. Thanks, though. Got no means of ever getting that money back. Oh, well. British taxpayer on hook for unpaid billions. It's all about Gibbs, isn't it? Most of these people, foreign people that come to Britain, it's not because they love Britain. Some it will be. Mostly it's not. It's not just because they love watching cricket and drinking tea and queuing up for things. It's for Gibbs. It's for the money. The filthy lucre they can just steal from us. Again, very straightforward. Very, very straightforward. Number 10 AIDS show Blokey Burnham the red card. This is what you get with the feminisation of politics. Apparently, Andy Burnham has been told by a number of his aides, and you can only imagine they are women, and if not women, soy boys, in his sort of social media department, in sort of the, it's like the comms department at number 10, stop making videos and things and social media, you know, anything on the social media, stop making it so blokey, quote, blokey, blokish. Stop doing that. What? What are you talking about? He is a bloke. Half of the electorate are blokes. What's your problem? What's the problem? You just bought into that weird, like, feminization of, like, toxic masculinity. Any masculinity is toxic, even if it's just Burnham and his moobs and his dad gut jogging or something, like mentioning football. Even that is too much. That's toxic masculinity or something. Andy Burnham's not overly macho, is he? He's not doing that Putin thing, riding a wild horse shirtless, is it? Chopping wood in the forest. He's not really doing that, is he? He's too blokish, though. What is there that's too blokish about Burnham? I really can't think of anything other than once in a while he'll mention football. That's like the most blokish thing about him, isn't it? His masculinity isn't particularly front and centre. Not like sort of dial it down, Andy. We get it. You're an alpha. Okay. It's a bit much. It's not that, is it? It's really not that. But according to the number 10 aides and like communication experts, it's too blokish. It's the politics of the left in the 21st century, isn't it? Utterly subversive, in other words, from top to bottom, completely and utterly subversive at every angle at all times. Disgusting. It needs to be rejected. All right, they're the front papers. They're the front pages of the papers on the British Fleet Street this morning. Increasingly infuriating and absurd and sloppy front pages. All right, about this time of the show, we do our poll. I think Alistair picked it today. So we're going with what we're going with. Let me do this with my mic. Boom, so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. Can you bring it up for me, Alistair? Was it? Oh, there it is. Okay. We asked you guys, or Alistair asked you guys, if you had to pick, would you rather live in Wales or Scotland? Oh, there's something a bit out of left field. Interesting one, why not? Sometimes we do really serious ones, don't we? Sometimes we do completely silly ones, absurd ones even occasionally, don't we? Sometimes we ask you something just about films or whatever. So this isn't in the news cycle or whatever. We just ask you, would you rather live in Wales or Scotland? And Wales has it. It's quite close though. 53% of you say Wales, 47% of you say Scotland. Just shy of about 1,000 people voting on that. That's interesting. What would I put? I don't know. It depends what part of Scotland. Like in, we're talking about a really lovely cottage up in the Highlands, or we're talking about some sort of slum in Govan. Oh, Scotland. If I had endless money and could live anywhere in Scotland or Wales, I guess if that's the scenario. They've both got some absolutely lovely, lovely places, haven't they? Some parts of the Scottish Highlands are, in my opinion, remarkably beautiful. It's not like the Brecon Beacons aren't or anything. Again, would you live in a massive, lovely, plush, like a giant sort of estate in the Brecon Beacons or in a slum in Swansea? Both Wales, aren't they? Imagine it's a nice place in Scotland or Wales. Ooh, I guess I'd go Scotland. But Wales won it. I'd have to think carefully about that. It's interesting that it's quite close. That is interesting. People are not overwhelmingly pro-Wales or anything, but All right, anyway, that's an interesting poll. Slightly interesting poll. All right. Shall we have a look at what else we've got in some of the other stories before we move on this day in history and all that sort of thing? Oh, here's a thing, story. It's not making it onto the front pages because, of course, it wasn't. It's not part of their narrative. But in Thetford, which is in Norfolk, over a few nights now, two or three nights, there's been unrest about migration. There's certain houses in Thetford which are being used to house invaders, stop calling them migrants, invaders, and that people weren't happy with it. And they've had to bus in a whole bunch of police to try and prevent normal people from protecting their own communities. But people outside, like the particular house or whatever they think is housing invaders. But the police don't like that. They won't have that. Some windows were broken. So the police have to come in mob-handed, absolutely swamp the area, and the Home Office will say, if you do anything at all, we'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. If you don't accept being invaded in the first instance, and then those invaders smeared out into every corner of Britain, if you've got any problem with that, you're the problem now. The police will come down on you. If you dare voice any real opposition to that. This is globalism. This is what it's very, very deliberate. They're not accidentally doing this, are they? They're not accidentally allowing us to be flooded by between 10 and 20 million foreign people over the last 20, 30 years. And then accidentally, repeatedly failing to deport them. And then accidentally smearing them out across into every corner of the country. And then accidentally using state power to come down on you if you've got an issue with any of that. It's not incompetence, is it? It's deliberate. Completely and utterly deliberate. And evil, crime of unprecedented severity. Here's a story that only happened, I think, 3 or 4 hours ago. So it wouldn't have been on the front pages of the papers. In Thailand, there's been another school shooting. There was one earlier in the year, wasn't there? This time, a 14-year-old boy shot 6 other people dead and then himself with a handgun, apparently, in a secondary school in Thailand, just outside Bangkok or in Bangkok. That will sort of dominate the news cycle today in some way. But again, didn't happen that long ago. This morning, like an hour or so ago, a bit more. I said it only happened a couple of hours ago at that point, so it's sort of breaking, kind of breaking thing. All right. The Zuck's in trouble. You can't cuck the Zuck. Oh, well, a court in New Mexico can. Fine him nearly $1 billion, $900 and something million. A judge in New Mexico found the company Meta to be a public nuisance. I mean, that's just the opinion of a judge, but nonetheless. And ruled that most of the money, this like $900 and something million, will be used for treatment services for young people. Over its child safety failings. Meta, the owner of Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, has been ordered to pay $567 million, which is £451 million. But that's on top of other rulings. How do we get to that number of a billion? I'll explain it. To address the harm caused to children on its platforms. The ruling handed down by a US judge in New Mexico stipulates that the bulk of the money will be used for treatment services for young people, while the rest will go towards awareness and prevention, screening services and other costs over the next 5 years. The new penalty is in addition to $375 million Meta was ordered to pay in damages not too long ago, earlier this year, I believe. Okay, so the grand total is nearly a billion. And it probably won't stop there. The total amounts to $942 million. And it probably won't stop there because there's now lots of legal precedent for it, isn't there? Like people can say, my child, we've been psychologically damaged by Facebook. Facebook being like too addictive to keep scrolling down through, and it's ruined my life in some way, ruined my mind in some way. find the right judge in the right state, and they're like, yeah, you're right. Mark, Zuck, come here. Give this person millions and millions of dollars. I mean, shan't shed a tear for bloody Zuck. But still, a little bit of a worrying precedent in my mind, just simply in terms of sort of the grander thing that's going on here, the grander concept that people aren't responsible for themselves. You know, like Mark Zuckerberg is responsible in some way, or his company is responsible for somebody else who can't stop scrolling or whatever it is. No, it's your responsibility, isn't it? Your life and your well-being is your responsibility, not Meta's. Again, not that I want to play defence, not that I'm going to bat on behalf of Meta, but just the principle of the thing, the principle of the thing. It's like, oh, I keep stabbing myself with this knife. Oh, I best take the company that manufactured this knife to court. It's their fault. Is it? Is it? I walked out in front of a car and got run over by a Mercedes. Right, I'm taking Mercedes to court for that. Wasn't it you who walked out in the road, though? Anyway, that's my feeling on it. Oh, look, here's actual evidence of people setting fires, setting wildfires. I thought he was all a flaming moron. He's only 12 years old as well. Funny, I thought it was all just climate change. I thought it was man-made CO2 causing all the wildfires. No, it's quite often just people, scumbags. All right, on this day in history, I like doing that bit. You guys seem to like me doing that bit. Down through the centuries, what happened of note? On this day in history, the 7th of August. On the first one here, I don't know much about. I've said before a number of times, freely admit. Bit of a dark spot in my knowledge is Chinese history, other than a few bits, a few famous bits. Some of the Mongol invasions, the first Chinese emperor. Qin Shi Huangdi, got long form content about him. Spent time researching Alistair. And spent time researching and reading all about him. But something like this, 15th century Chinese history, I don't know much about. But anyway, we're told on this day in 1461, Ming Dynasty Chinese military general Chao Qin, I think Qin is pronounced Qin, Qin, stages a coup against the Jiansang Emperor. Can't really tell you much more detail about that. Okay, on this day in 1714, the Battle of Gangut, the Russian Navy wins its first major victory during the Great Northern War against Sweden. I know much more about that. Yeah, we talked about it before, didn't we? A few days ago, or a week or two ago, where Sweden, in the late 18th century still, Sweden was a big power. And Russia was nowhere big as big of a power as it became relatively soon after that. So you might think Sweden versus Russia, that's not really any sort of contest. Well, it was. Relatively close. You know, who controls sort of the Baltic Sea, really? All right, on this day in 1782, commander of the Continental Army, George Washington, creates two honorary badges of distinction and a badge of military merit, now known as the Purple Heart. Anyone that gets wounded in any way, you get a Purple Heart. And it's the first time military awards are presented to common soldiers. That's interesting. I wonder if that's the first time military awards were presented to common soldiers anywhere in the world or just in the US military. I would assume that just means in the US military, not anywhere in the whole world. Anyway, I think you actually get a Purple Heart even if it's not like a combat injury. Is that right? Pretty sure like people in Vietnam, like you get some sort of terrible jungle infection. And you get shot, you get two Purple Hearts. I think that was the case. Anyway. On this day, 1933, the Iraqi government forces slaughter over 3,000 Assyrians in the village of Simelieh? I don't know how you pronounce that. In northern Iraq, commemorated as Assyrian Martyrs' Day. I've heard about that incident before, but I don't know the exact details of it. Exactly what went down, how and why, sort of the day-to-day, moment-to-moment details of that. I have heard about it. I guess it's sort of Iraqi Sunni Muslims and the Assyrians, sort of, because ancient Assyria is the same part of the world, isn't it? Were these quote-unquote Assyrians, were they not the exact same faith? I'm not sure I should know more about that, actually. Interesting. That is interesting. I should look that up. It's exactly the sort of thing where if I'm at a slight loose end for a moment, I'll be, oh, what's that thing? Yeah, I should know more about that. Okay. On this day in 1955, Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering, the precursor to Sony, begins selling its first transistor radios in Japan. Again, not much more to say about that, but mildly interesting. Very, very mildly interesting. Okay, and on this day in 1990, US deploys troops to Saudi Arabia, beginning Operation Desert Shield. I know a great deal about that. That's Iraq War One, you know, the liberation of Kuwait from Saddam's army. I know loads about that. It's one of the things when I was sort of in my early teens, even mid-teens, it was one of the things in history that I, for whatever reason, decided, oh, I'm really fascinated by that. I really want to know exactly what happened. Because I remember it. I remember it myself. Literally, Desert Storm. Well, Desert Shield and then Desert Storm. I was like 10 or whatever. I remember watching it on TV. And then by the time I was sort of 14 or 15, I'm like, I actually want to know all about that in as much detail as possible. I have basically studied, read more than one book, I suppose, if you want to call that studying, about Desert Storm and Desert Shield. Anyway, what it was, real quick, just to say, Saddam invaded Kuwait for its oil resources, if nothing else, in order, because he almost tanked his own economy trying to fight Iran for 10 years, not getting anywhere. And a lot of the West, well, particularly the US, George Bush Sr., Poppy, decided this aggression will not stand. Oh, and Saddam was threatening Saudi Arabia and Israel. So they deployed, George Bush Sr. decided to deploy loads of the army and marines and navy and air force and everything else to the region. Started with Operation Desert Shield, which was to protect Saudi Arabia. Because the fear, the worry was Saddam's legions might sweep straight on through Kuwait City and into Saudi Arabia. George Bush Sr. couldn't have that. So first and foremost, set up an operation to protect Saudi from any such thing. Operation Desert Shield. And then that turns into, or was always going to be, the amassing of US forces and other forces, coalition forces. The Brits were involved, as a few others. Coalition of the Winning type deal. Operation Desert Shield becomes really amassing forces on the Iraqi-Kuwaiti border, ready to bounce across. And then they did. And then they did. Like a few months later, in the end of 1990, the winter of 1990 into 1991, Desert Storm, where we liberate Kuwait. Massive pincer, not pincer movement, a massive wheeling movement around the top of Kuwait to cut off a load of Saddam's army. Not pushing all the way up to Baghdad or anything like that. That's later. 13 years later, but... Anyway, Stormy Norman, the CO on the ground for the Yanks. I find all that sort of thing fascinating. For some reason, you know what it's like when you're a history nerd. There'll be some little corner of history. And not only you, but most people are not particularly interested in it. They think it's a bit of a footnote in history. But for you, you're sort of endlessly fascinated by it. Anyway. Desert Storm is one of those things for me. All right, that's the on this day in history bit. Should we do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? let's see. It's Global Church. I've got loads of Rumble Rants this morning. Global Church History. Do hit the like button. Do give the thumbs up to the stream. Makes a big difference, I'm told. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Put the bell on. Whack the old bell on. Okay. Yes, Global Church History is in at number one this morning. It's a good day. What have we got? You've said he gives us a couple of factoids, on this day in history factoids, doesn't he? We've got, today in 626 AD, the Avars abandoned the siege of Constantinople, reportedly when St. Michael appeared to their Kagan, now celebrated as a feast day. St. Michael, the archangel Michael. Yeah, the Avars. The Avars are sort of nomadic horsemen people, weren't they? You've got like the Pannonian Avars and the Cappadocian, Capetian, not Capetian, that's France. Caspian, is it Caspian Avars? Anyway, they're sort of Central Asian, Central Steppe type horse nomad people. Not likely to ever get inside the Theodosian walls of Constantinople, were they? Well, they didn't. They abandoned the siege pretty quickly, to be honest. They're like, oh, wait. These defences are completely impenetrable. Even if you had a long time, years, and highly advanced siege battery equipment, it would still be a massive, massive task. And we, the Avars, haven't got any of that. We've got some horses. Interesting, eh? Walls of Theodosius. And the second one, Global Church History, says, in 936, Otto the First was crowned King of Germany. It's interesting. Know a lot about that. Otto the First, Otto the Great. One of the sort of the seminal kings for Germany. It's not truly a Germany as we know it in the 10th century, but nonetheless. Otto, so this is after the age of Charlemagne. He's up there, arguably, with Charlemagne. Not as important, but after Charlemagne dies, he splits his empire into two, the East and the West Franks. Anyway, the Eastern Frankish kingdoms. Otto becomes that and becomes a Holy Roman Empire. Again, the Holy Roman Empire was already a thing. So he becomes king of the... Holy Roman Emperor of effectively the Germans. Then he invaded Italy, northern Italy at least. Takes Rome as one of his seats of power in Rome. Yeah, important guy. If you're German, he will be sort of in your top 10, top 5 even, most important early medieval figures. A lot of people who aren't German maybe never heard of him. Anyway, thanks for that, Global Church History. That's a good one. All right, next one, Pig Dog. Next few, Pig Dog 5150. You say, come on, lads, only 10 thumbs up in Rumble. Yeah, hit the like button. Give the stream a like, please. Give it a double thumbs up. You can't, can you? There's no such thing. Fan dabby dozy. Pig Dog again says, are we making lists? Can we add most of the royals, a load of lawyers, magistrates, judges, police, NHS admins, RNLI, whole bunch of military brass? Quite a long list. May take a while. I don't know what you might be suggesting. I don't know. Disavow. Prank caller. No, thanks for the super chat. Next one, also from Pigdog, says Zendaya. Average on her best days, acting and otherwise. Most overrated actress of current times. Sick of seeing her. Yeah. I've only seen her in a couple of things. She had like that bit part, real bit part in The Odyssey as Athena. Nothing special. Just completely expressionless acting. That type of acting where you're just expressionless. Good acting. Is that acting? The only other thing I've seen her in of any more than a few moments or a clip of it was in June. She plays Chaney in June. A relatively big part. And, yeah, she was average. She didn't stand out to me as terrible actress. Like, oh, my God, she's ruining everything she's in. Oh, my God, this is laughably poor acting. Like, this is Orlando Bloom type TV acting. It wasn't that. It didn't blow me away. I wasn't like, wow, what a performance. Wow, I really believe this. It was just okay, yeah. Like her looks. She's not ugly, is she? It's not like disgusting. It's just not like, oh, this is an ugly person. Why are you trying to like Michelle Obama? It's not that. But she's just not. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Average in every way. Average. Yeah. Average on her best days. Yeah. All right. Next one. That's a random name. Greetings from Canada. Oh, Canada. It's 3 o'clock in the morning here. It says that's a random name. Regarding Zendaya, oh, I've touched a nerve with the Zendaya thing. I've got nothing against her. With that in mind, she's the most astroturfed piece of mystery meat I've ever seen. Good luck, Tom. She's certainly astroturfed, isn't it? Hollywood's kind of always done that, but on the mainstream media as well. Here's a person you're supposed to really, really care about, and we're going to keep pushing them on you. Why? Now, sometimes they'll do that, the media, less Hollywood, but more the media. They'll pick usually like a model or something. Do you remember a few years ago, it was that Cara Delevingne? Do you remember that, just for example? Just one of many. Don't know why that one randomly popped in my mind. But for a while there, a few years ago, the mainstream media decided Cara Delevingne. They would put her on the front page all the time. She hasn't done anything. She's in New York at the moment. And she's gone out to the corner shop to buy some milk. Sometimes literally that. Or who played Hermione in Harry Potter, you know? Alistair?
Emma Watson.
Yeah, like Emma Watson. Oh, look, you brought up some pictures of that Cara Delevingne, yeah. A few years ago now, she's doesn't look quite that stunning anymore. But anyway, yeah. Or, yeah, they'll pick someone. They'll be like, this is, you really need to care what they're doing at all times and the latest minutiae of what's going on in their life. It's like, do we? Right. Or Zendaya now. We have to cast her in everything and follow her real life. What's going on? Nah. That's weird. All right. Pig Dog again says, re-water pollution, illegal drugs, legal pharma. Pharmaceuticals. Especially antidepressants and birth control massively pollute the water. Yeah, I have heard that. Wasn't it turning the frogs gay? Lefties want drugs legalised and clean water. You can't have both. And then you put animals all higher. But, yeah, that's a fair point. Lefties want drugs legalised and clean water. You can't have both. Yeah, it seems that way on some level. Was it, yeah, the whole thing of turning the frogs gay? If there's loads of like birth control chemicals, even like sort of trace elements in like the broader water supply, then maybe amphibians, for real, like that are very, very, very susceptible to something like that. It damages them real quick. Yeah, what a travesty that all our waterways are polluted to some level, to some degree. hurts my soul. This country. All right, the next fair few, are all from That's a Random Name. So I'll quickly whip through them if you don't mind. Or you yourself have named them part one of two, part of three or four. The next four are all you. And so you've written. I've come to realise that what links the various evildoers that are afflicting our society is that they all deny their agency and use that as an excuse for their evil deeds. Whether it's the people polluting our rivers, women aborting their children in hundreds of thousands, politicians blaming the system for their treachery, or even the savages on our streets, it's never their fault because they have no agency. You want something here? Yeah. An irresponsible woman somehow has less agency than her unborn child. Politicians somehow have an agency, have no agency, despite their actual power. Yeah. Migrants just can't help but commit the most heinous crime, on and on and on. To evildoers, life just happens. That's why they try to destroy us for pointing evil out, because we recognise human agency. Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with what you've said there. That's a random name. Yeah. Yeah. That's how the left, traitors, subversives, a whole lot of them, globalists, that's sort of one of the rationales, one of the key rationales they use, isn't it? Yeah. You can't blame foreign invaders for coming here, stealing from us, committing sex crime, and sometimes mass casualty murder events, up to and including the slaughter of innocent children. You can't really blame them for it. It's the system. They had no agency. You know, like the Meta thing. It's not my fault I can't stop scrolling through Facebook or something. It's not my fault. It's Mark Zuckerberg's fault. Yeah. You're right, yeah. The whole question about agency, human agency. Quite right, yeah. Good point. Okay, and the last Rumble rant this morning is from GCH again, Rebel Church History. You've put the Monghyre Mutiny Medals were given to common soldiers in 1766 and silver Deccan Mysore medals, this is like British India, were given to Indian soldiers in 1784 and 1793 respectively. Ancient Romans gave Palafrey medals to normal soldiers. Right, yeah, okay, so the factoid we had before about George Washington giving out the early equivalent of a Purple Heart. It was just, it's not the first time ever that common soldiers got medals and things. Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, thanks, Global Church History. Thank you, sir. All right, now the YouTube ones. There's a fair few of these as well, 20 or so. I can whip through them a bit because I've got to get going. I can't spend the next 40 minutes doing them. It's already 10 past nine. Okay, first one here from Rodney, Rod underscore knee, says, clown world glasses on, dot, dot, dot. Everything looks exactly the same. Yeah. Clown world. Where things are going to get worse before they get better. Okay, Stu Sutton, 1977, says, Rod has took the title. Oh, Rodney getting in first there. Right. Yeah, and no. Stu Sutton just lost his belt this morning to Rodney. Retirement homes for me, and he spelt homes with, as in Holmes, Eamon Holmes. Okay, Phil Marshall, Dawn Browning, wait, doesn't say anything and just gives $5. Thank you for that, love. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate the support. Honestly do. Okay, and a clapping hippo with GG behind it. Sorry, she didn't put nothing. She put a clapping hippo with GG behind it. Thanks, Phil. The Field Marshal. Okay. Erwin Romulus, how are you, sir? Hope you're all right. You've put, what's your favourite instalment of The Fall of Civilizations? Oh, that's a great podcast. You put, for me, it's the Nabataeans. I think their history is too often overlooked. That's true. It is often overlooked. Most people don't know anything about them. For anyone who doesn't know, there's a podcast called The Fall of Civilizations podcast. It's been going for a few years, but they haven't got a fantastic amount of episodes. It's not like over 270 like I've got. There's only like, I don't know how many there are now. 20, are there as many as 20, 25 maybe? But they're very long, often very, very long. Could be like 5 hours or whatever, 4 or 5 hours. And they're very, very high quality. That's the thing. Very, very high quality. Impeccably researched and just super, super professional high quality. Love them. Anyone that's a history fan, history nerd, we will like them. What's my favourite? Oh, I don't know. Most of them are very, very good. Nearly all of them are very, very, very good. Well, I've watched the one about the Assyrians and the one about the Egyptians more than once. So that probably says it, doesn't it? They did a long one, really long one, about the Egyptians, probably that one. Yeah, or the ancient Assyria, one of those two. It's very good. If you're a history fan, check it out. Do check it out. All right. Next one here is from someone called The Anarcho-Monarchist. Is that right? It's all one long thing. I struggle to read that sometimes when it's very... The Anarcho-Monarchist. Okay, from New Zealand, it seems. He says, always enjoy tuning in to Dinner with Bo. G'day from New Zealand. Because I guess it's dinner time where you are, the other side of the world, down under. How good. Go for your life. Well, thank you for tuning in. A little bit of dinner. And then to bed. Night, night, Shazza. All right, Tiger, TYGR8, says, thank you for the Slovenia shout-out, Bo. Glad to represent. BBC now has its reporters even in the Balkans. Tiger for the Balkan Front, signing out. Out. Oh, well, no, no worries. Thank you. From Slovenia. I always think it's great when people watching from all over the place. Yeah, the Balkans. Always, tinder ready to set on fire and explode at a moment's notice. It's been away for a long time, since the ancient world. I mean, they try and flood various parts of the Balkans with more and more Muslims, the way they do, seem to be doing with the rest of the West. Will things kick off there before anywhere else? Maybe. Best of luck to you, Tiger, in Slovenia. Absolutely best of luck. Okay, Mr. Gently Benevolent says, your poll is false, Uncle Bo. As we all know, Wales isn't real. What's he saying? Let's see where he's going with this. Wales isn't real. As Wales' top phrenologist, I can confirm its fictional status. Okay. That's an odd, yet quite funny thing to say. I don't know why you're... Wales is not real. I don't know why you said that. Funny though. Principled Uncertainty says, I, for one, welcome our new left-wing populist overlords and denounce Bo and all his works. Spare me. I have bad feet. Traitor! Traitor! Principled Uncertainty has turned. We've got a traitor in our ranks. Now, I actually quite often think that joke's funny. Like, some story about AI is going to take over or is already a massive danger or something. And people said, I, for one, salute our new AI overlords. Kill me last. All right, cheers, Principled Uncertainty. 10 quid there. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much. All right. The K-Man Live says, CO2 climate alarmism is just nonsense. Yeah, I believe so, yeah. But polluted streets, rivers, etc. It's just being a dirty bar steward. He's put the word, but you know, you get it. There's a difference. Up the real BBC. Thank you, the K-Man Live. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I draw a massive distinction between the man-made CO2 climate hoax and actual real life, real pollution. Yeah. Okay. MQs says, donating a studio candle for better lighting. Thank you. Yeah, something just clicked off. I don't know what it was. Hopefully we're moving, changing studio before too long. And the building we're in right now, in a way, it served us very well. In another way, a bit of a pain in the A. It's not an amazingly good building. You know the number of power cuts we've had, not just the two in recent months for the Bo show, but other times as well. It was in the middle of a podcast once, weren't we? Fire alarms goes off sometimes, even though we've told them not to do it, we've requested not to do it, and they say they won't. It does anyway. The cooling and the heating system isn't great. Sometimes the electrics, if it's not a full power cut, will just be a little bit unreliable. All sorts of stuff. The windows, they're like from the 19th century or something. They're not, of course, but they feel like it. Brilliant building. Anyway, we're going somewhere else soon. A little bit of a peek behind the curtain there. We should be moving to a building which isn't a joke. All right. Let's have a look. What else have we got? Aristotle Luton says, enjoyed your Richard III epochs. Good weekend, sir. Oh, thank you. Yeah, Richard III. You liked that one, did you? Cool. Yeah, so that was relatively recently. That was just earlier this year, wasn't it? Earlier in the summer or at the end of spring last year. Richard III. I did the whole Wars of the Roses in loads and loads of detail. Uncle Richard murdered his own nephew, Edward V. Evil Uncle Richard. Sorry, his own nephews. There were two princes in the tower, weren't there? Okay, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Brilliant. That's the whole idea. Thank you. All right. Tatum 2733 says, What if you awoke in the siege of Constantinople? Which siege? The main one, 1453? Depends what side I was on. Depends what siege of Constantinople. There were loads. Do you mean the Avar one, the one from was mentioned earlier in in the 7th century. Depends what siege it was and what side I was on. Because it might be fine, or it might be terrifying and you're looking at imminent death. Okay. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, incorrect take, Bo. Zendaya is brown, and even given that drawback unpleasant. Your best Spice Girl status is being called into question. Wait, what are you saying here? Incorrect take, Bo. Zendaya is brown, and even given that drawback unpleasant. Oh, you're saying that... Are you saying that me saying that she's even remotely average or anything, even that's too far? You're saying she's really, really not. Is that what you're saying? She's, like, really gross or whatever. The fact that I didn't go that far is an incorrect take. Sorry if I'm reading it right, I think. Your best Spice Girl status is being called into question. No! I'm king of the minions. King of Cole's minions. King of the Spice Girls. The most based one, basically. Lotus Eaters is the Bodade experience featuring the other hosts. Okay. Thomas Glover, 92, says, morning, Bo. Is King Charles British? Oh, yeah. I mean, his father, the Duke of Edinburgh, the late Duke of Edinburgh, he was Greek, but of sort of, I believe, isn't he? Wasn't he of, he's Greek, but of Northwest European descent. And then his mother, the Queen, late Queen Elizabeth II, was ultimately of, basically of sort of Hanoverian descent. But there was all sorts of other blood mixed in there as well. And, oh, I mean, they're at least mostly Northwest European. Depends, doesn't it, how deep down you want to drill into it. I mean, I'm happy to call him British. It'd be interesting to see if they actually did a living DNA or Ancestry.com, if they were to do a DNA breakdown and actually see exactly what it was. Perhaps we as the people can demand that of our sovereign. It'd be interesting to see. Because do you have to be 100% like Dan Tubb? Like, I've done my DNA, and I wasn't 100%. I was 89% British Isles. Well, according to living DNA. Or was it Ancestry? I can't remember. I did them both. I was like 89%, and I had other bits, like a little bit of Scandinavia. On one of them, a little bit of French. On the other one, there was no French. One of them said I had like 1.8% Basque from the Basque region in northern Spain. Am I British? Can I no longer claim to be British because I've got 1.8% Basque? Where do you draw the line exactly? Some would say, wouldn't they? No, you've got to be 100% like Dan Tubb, who won't disclose how much of his it was actually Irish. Anyway, Jeff, be 100% before you claim it. Well, if that were the case, then this current royal family won't be that. I'd bet my money that it's not that. It isn't that, is it? It won't be. If they're not British, what are they? German? Greek? It'd be interesting, genuinely interesting, for them to do a DNA breakdown. Why not? All right. Last three here. Oh no, four now. Rodney, again, says, basically, on the opposite side of the planet here in New Zealand, between 11 and 13 hours ahead, depending on daylight savings. Yeah, literally the other side of the world. Remarkable to me. Thank you for watching, Rodney. Was there someone else when the Rumble rants said they were in New Zealand? Anyway, thank you for watching. Really, really, honestly. Sort of blows my mind a bit. Appreciate it. Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, Gently B is correct. That Gently Benevolent is correct. Wales is a psyop by Amon. The whole of Wales was created as a psychological warfare exercise by Eamon Holmes. Okay. If you guys say so. Get well soon, Eamon. All joking aside, It will say names. Hope he does. Poor, completely innocent Eamon Holmes. He's just a man. He's just an innocent man. Okay, Tatum2733 says, 1453, defenders, you get arms and armour. No, I don't want to do it. How would I feel? I'd be terrified. I'm defending Constantinople in 1453. Yeah, that's terrifying. I'm going to get butchered. Even with arms and armour. What was your original question? What if you awoke in the siege? Well, if I awoke as a defender in the siege of Constantinople, I would be petrified and terrified and try and look at swimming the Bosphorus to get away or something. That's what I'd do. It'd be horrible. I guess that's the answer. Okay, last two here. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, 89% DNA, unclean. Oh. I think the other one was a bit higher, because I did two. I did Living DNA and I did Ancestry.com. One of them came out at 89%, and the other one I think was 91 or 92. But it wasn't 100%. A little bit of Scandinavia, it'll be the Viking invasions, wouldn't it? One of them said I had a little bit of French, northwestern French. That'll be the Normans, won't it? A little bit of Norman in there. What can you do? It is what it is. Okay, and the last one there, Shoney C says, it's a beautiful day to be English. Yes, that's right. It is. It's a beautiful day. Don't let it get away. Try and seize the day. Carpe diem, if you can. Try and use it. Try and use it wisely. It's the best, most important, most valuable thing you'll ever have is your time. As I say that, that is the show. That was the last one. It's now 26 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, Friday the 7th of August in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. Thank you for joining me. I'll just reiterate it one more time. Try and make the best of the day ahead. It's a beautiful day. Carpe diem, seize the day. And the weekend, and indeed the weekend ahead. All right then, I'll see you on Monday morning. Until then, take care.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.